Welcome back to another episode of That 80s Child, The Generation Y. I'm your host, Gabrielle, and today we're diving into a colorful world that shaped our childhoods, children's albums and learning programs of the 80s. Whether it was singing along to your favorite tunes or soaking up knowledge with the help of a friendly cartoon character, these albums and programs played a huge role in our early years. So dust off those vinyl records and VHS tapes as we explore the music and educational shows that taught us, entertained us, and left an indelible mark on our generation. First and foremost, I wanted to actually listen to and rate and tell you what my favorite song off of this album that Nick, who commented or posted and messaged me on my Facebook social media for That 80s Child. Please go like and follow for the Facebook page, because I will respond, and I would like to have a little bit more input as to what you would like to listen to or what you want me to talk about, because I'm running out of ideas. Actually, well, I kind of am. I came up with 7 new ideas, so that's 7 new episodes. So as I go along, I'm coming up with new things, but it would be great to get some feedback to know, like, what you would like to hear something of, maybe go into a deep dive of something specific, not just like an overview like I kind of do. Please. Nick asked me to review Baby Beluga, which I did mention in my previous episode that I was going to do that, and I did. And it's by Raffi, R-A-F-F-I. You probably can listen to it on Spotify. I don't subscribe to Spotify. I'm not on it. I have YouTube Music because it was originally Google Music, and I have everything through Google. Like, they've taken over my life, so I listen to all of my music and everything through that. So I'm not going to pay for another subscription if I don't have to. But it is on YouTube Music. It's probably on YouTube itself, so please have a check it out. It's Baby Beluga by Raffi. I will give it out of a 10, I would give it like a 7. I think it's pretty good. I think it's a really good kids, children's album. They do a Day-O, like a rendition of Day-O, which was okay. And I liked the song All I Really Need. And it says, all I really need is a song in my heart, food in my belly, love in my family, which is actually kind of like a really great, not kind of, it is a really great message to know that, you know, instead of sitting there wanting everything, to look and see about the simpler things in life, that it's like you are okay, you're healthy, you have a song in your heart, which music is and will always be a universal language, food in your belly so that you're nourished, and then love in the family, which questionable with family. I have a love-hate relationship with that kind of that turn of phrase, family. But if you do have like a really good relationship with your family, that's awesome. Just don't take my bitterness on that. And also, I just want to make note before I dive into what my favorite song is on that and why I gave it a 7 out of 10. Just so that you guys know who listen to me, I was diagnosed with major depressive disorder and generalized anxiety disorder in 2018. And I was on medication, various dosages, various different types of medication. And I made a decision along with my doctor, so safely, that I no longer want to be on the medication because I don't feel like it was doing me any good. If anything, it was probably doing me more damage than it was doing me good. I'm not saying that that is the case for everyone. It was the case for me. And I was also very, very afraid because it does mess with your memory, and having my mom having dementia and that possibility of it happening to me, I'd rather not it be a stronger possibility. So if I get emotional, if I get angry, if I sound a little different, it's because even though I was tapered off, even though I was given lower dosages and going off the time, there is a thing called antidepressant discontinuation syndrome, or ADS, and it has a lot of side effects coming off, especially with certain SSRIs, medication, Lexapro and Effexor. Lexapro and Effexor are two of the hardest medications to come away from, and I had both of them. So I deal with some slight dizziness. That's actually starting to go away. Issues with sleeping, which I've always had, so it's kind of really not... It's not abnormal for me. Mood swings, because your body, your brain is trying to recalibrate itself. And mood swings are it is definitely something that is affecting me. So I apologize, or you're welcome. So, okay. So Baby Beluga, why did I give it 7 out of 10? And then I'll tell you what my favorite is. 7 out of 10 because I've heard that it's like your children's out. I've never heard the actual album before. This is my first time listening to it. Perhaps if I listened to it when I was a child in the 80s, it would be something close to my heart. So I'm assuming like Nick liked, that was like one of his favorite albums. I don't mean any disrespect to this album at all. It's a great album. It's great for children. I would have suggested people with smaller children to have a listen because I think it has a great message and I really like the beat. I love the tone of everything. They even have a rendition of This Old Man. You know, not a lot of, I don't know how many kids actually listen to nursery rhymes as much anymore. I really don't hear, like, the way the world is right now, we need more albums like this. Anyway, my favorite song off of it was Water Dance, and it was just an instrumental, and I love instrumentals in general, and I would actually add that song to my current list. It is so peaceful, and it's so nice, and it's something you can sway to. I very much like it, and it's like a new song that I can listen to if I wanted to go back to listen to it. I very much like it, and I also really liked the words to All I Really Need, which, like I said, all I really need is a song in my heart, food in my belly, and love in my family. So thank you so much, Nick, for opening my eyes up to that album. I did not know. I don't know if I necessarily listened to a lot of quote unquote albums when I was that young. I can't remember that far back, but I can go into some things that I have like really enjoyed. Cause I didn't actually research what I just put down here. Who cares? I don't know who that is, so it doesn't matter. The Letter People. The Letter People actually started out in the 70s, but it actually continued up until 1996. And if you don't know who the Letter People are, when I went to preschool, when they were teaching you your alphabet, it was literally these made-up, like, puppets, not by Jim Henson, although that would have been awesome if it was. But a puppet's like A is for Miss Achu, like it's for Achu, or T is for tall teeth, and Z is for zippering zippers, or G is for gummy, or like gummy gum or whatever. I had a whole booklet of the Letter People, and I loved the Letter People. It was like my most favorite thing when I was in school. So they have their own songs for each of the actual letters, and you can find them on YouTube. You can listen to it if you so choose. And I would suggest the Letter People for smaller children as well currently, because it will help your alphabet. Like gooey gum. Sorry. I'm like, gummy gum? That doesn't sound right. G for gooey gum. So yeah, it's definitely something that's fun. It is interesting. And I think it would keep the attention for smaller children, because that's technically what you're trying to do, to have them entertained and learning at the same time. So it has music. It has a puppet. And they make it interesting, and you're learning the sounds that the letters make and the words that go along with it, and like their story. I don't know. It's really cool. I enjoyed that a lot. Now, I don't know if you know me, there's a special part in my heart for Jim Henson. And I think, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I might do a whole episode of Jim Henson. So they have it came out in 2022, and I didn't know, but I haven't been watching Disney, and I know Disney like acquired the rights and intellectual property of the Muppets. I don't think they're as good as they were, but I think the Creature Shop and the work that they do in puppeteering is amazing. And if I had that type of know-how and creativity within like putting that imagination to fabric and scissors to make it into a puppet and a working puppet. I mean, they actually, when my son told me that they were using Jim Henson Workshop, Creature Workshop, to create the Five Nights at Freddy's animatronics, I was like, I need to go and see that because I know it's going to be amazing. And it was amazing. They need to utilize more. I don't know if you're going to hear that in the background, but I don't see it coming up, but we have a really old clock in the background, and it just gonged, and I'm like, okay, can you hear that on there? I will not know until I go back to edit it, but So the Muppets have a close, you know, anything that was sing-along related with the Muppets, that included Sesame Street, really anything that was done by the Muppets, I loved it because there was always music involved in anything. It's like the Muppet Movie, like I just posted on my Facebook, like the quote for Rainbow Connection, and it makes me teary-eyed when I read it because it's just so, it's the truth. It's how I really think about myself, like the lovers, the dreamers, and me. So yeah, so anything Muppet related, if it had sing-alongs, it didn't matter. I will sing along with it. I will currently sing along with it, and I will currently watch it. So please, if you have children that are small and you want to introduce them to things, please, the Muppets, original Muppets, they are the best, and they make you, like, all right, so the Muppet Christmas Carol, Muppet Treasure Island, you have, and then you have the John Denver and the Muppets with the whole the Christmas album. Please listen to that. Your kids will love it. You will love it. It will bring, if you are like the age that I am, if not, listen to it yourself so you can have that same enjoyment. It's just, it's the best. Okay, enough of that. So Sesame Street is involved in all of that, and they had a lot of sing-alongs. And I used to watch Sesame Street when I was younger, along with Mr. Rogers. I can go into more detail with those shows at a later date. I think that they alone need more. They need a lot more. And I think I'm too emotional right now to go into too much about it, especially Mr. Rogers. Oh, my goodness. There needs to be more people like him in this world. You have no idea. But they were a staple in my household. We would watch Sesame Street and we would watch anything the Muppets related and Mr. Rogers. And that's pretty much what I think the reason why I don't want to say all of our generation. It's questionable. But I think that's why we're so nostalgia driven, because there were so many amazing things coming out in the 80s. So like when we were, you know, I was born in 83. So we were very, very young in the 80s, but we experienced some of the greatest things that came out, and I think stick with us because they were the greatest, and there hasn't been anything as great, to be honest. So please, the people that are supposed to be those creative people that are out there in Hollywood and television, maybe you should come up with some new ideas, because I think reusing the old stuff is getting old. And we don't want it to be remade. We don't want it to be redone. Because the reason why it's a classic is because of the way it was done originally. I think there's a lack of creativity and a lack of new ideas in that realm. And there just needs to be more. There needs to be more. Where are you? Where are you hiding? And why can't we have new ideas? Because people are starving for that. And there's, you know, don't redo. Just because this wave of nostalgia for the millennials, for the even the Gen Xers that are coming out from the woodwork, and then like I have my son who's a Gen Z, and all this friggin' generational stuff is actually a bunch of BS. You know, I understand where we grew up in, but labels are just ridiculous nowadays, let me tell you. But there is a mosquito in this room, and I'm gonna kill it. So instead of I am capitalizing, and I say capitalizing, I'm not making any money. I'm just doing this just because I do enjoy nostalgia. I do enjoy remembering awesome things of our childhood, my childhood, because we didn't always have the same things. And I think we all, especially with right now, when you're seeing all these things that are generational or nostalgic for like the Zennials now, like that's like a new subsection, which I said in the last one. It's like, how about we just enjoy the nostalgia of our childhood, period. It doesn't matter when you were born. It doesn't matter when it might have happened or when you enjoyed it. It's nostalgia because it's in the past, and it's nostalgic because we enjoyed it. So let's just enjoy it regardless of our generations and talk about it so that future generations will know. So like I do find it funny, though, that my son, who just turned 18 yesterday, he will tell me, he's like, oh, that's so nostalgic for me. And I'm thinking, you're 18. I don't think it's nostalgic yet, honestly, you know. But it is true. Like, when you are really young and you mourn things that you used to enjoy at a degree when you're a certain age. And you'll never get that specific moment in your life back. And you'll never get that specific feeling back. But that nostalgia, regardless of your age, is still there. So at the time, I was like, stop saying it's nostalgic. But you know what? It is, because it's from his childhood. And it makes me feel good that he has those feelings, that I was able to help produce that. Because I always thought that I wasn't giving him what I had when I was a child. I wasn't allowing him to have that same feeling. And yet he had. And it makes it all worth it in the end. Okay, that was a nice little off-road there. But anyway, so they had a bunch of Disney sing-alongs. I cannot remember every single one of them, nor can I even think of how to put it into Google to find the specific names. But Disney is best known for all of like their musicals and things that are with us all together. I am not a Disney-phile. I am not one that needs to go to Disney. I've never been to Disney World, nor do I care to, you know, I have no want to go there. If I get to go there, if I want a trip, I'll go. I'm not paying for it. I might lose people on this, but I do enjoy older Disney movies, and I do appreciate what Disney brought to us. But I think they're just getting too big for their britches right now. I'm not like one of those people that need to have something tattooed on me from Disney. I don't need to have Disney written all over my car and Disney this and Disney that. I don't care. I do enjoy some movies. I will watch it. I do enjoy some of the Marvel movies, although they're getting old now. And it's just too much inundation of it. It's just like I did a podcast. I think it was actually my first season, which I'm done with seasons. If anybody realized the names of my the numbers of my episodes, I went from like season 3, episode number 12, and then went to episode number 38. Because I'm just like, you know what? I'm not doing seasons because I'm kind of erratic with the posting, and I'm so sorry for that. I'm trying to get a little bit more in there, but life, you know what I'm saying? I can't really help for that. So yeah, they had lots of sing-alongs. Mickey Mouse, they like, I think it was Mickey, and then it was a lot of the original like Fantasia. That's great, but that wasn't done in the 80s. But regardless, Care Bears. Now Care Bears had lots of sing-alongs. The whole their episodes had something in there. Care Bear stare, and the movies that they did. I even right in front of me right now, I have my original OG from 1984 Care Bear pencil. It's a little rusted. It's seen some days, but I obviously did not use it that at all. Doesn't look like I really used it at all, because it has the whole pen eraser with it. So yeah, so I have that. So I did love the Care Bears, and I loved anything that was sing-along related. And they usually did a sing-along with any popular cartoon character or big child, like something that children, they would always have a sing-along. So it would have like the He-Man or She-Ra sing-along. And I don't know if the Thundercats had them, but I know like, of course, Gem and the Holograms. I'm like, come on. That's a given. I would just sing. You don't even have to do a specific sing-along for me. I will just sing along to the music that was within those episodes even now. Okay? It's just perfect. There's really nothing else you need to do with that. And I will say it again. I already said it, and I will say it again. If they ever want to actually make a real movie, not the piece of shit that they did before, I would rather that not have the Gem and the Holograms name at all. I wish they would just rename it to some stupid shit thing that they wanted to make and just erase it from the world. If they actually do ever really do a movie, preferably before the woman who sang everything dies, and have her be a part of it, and then like have like her there somehow. I don't know how. Maybe have her sing something. I don't care. She needs to be in it. And how about just have it based in the 80s? Why do you have to bring it to future stuff? Why does it have to be YouTube famous? How about just make it in the 80s? It can be a period piece, since apparently that's so far away now, okay? So please, please, for the love of God, if you're going to do it right. Listen to the fans, okay? Listen to me and do it right, okay? Alvin and the Chipmunks. they had so many, specifically their the Christmas album. Come on. That's like the best. I don't really know if you would classify that as like educational. I think that was just more like Gem and the Holograms. They would have like at the very end of it would be like the moral of the story is. And it's a, was it? Is that what we were doing? Sure. Care Bears, of course, yes. There was always like a, you know, reason to be caring, obviously caring and sharing and all that lovely stuff. We need more of that. Bring the Care Bears back, the real ones, not the remakes. Okay. Alvin and the Chipmunks, so yeah. So anything, I don't know if that was classified as educational, but they had lots of things, and they were very, very popular. And I believe I have actual comic books that were Alvin and the Chipmunks that were from the 70s. So they've been around for a long time, and I think they just kind of really shot up in the 80s because of the, like, the Christmas specials and stuff like that. And our generation, like the 80s kids, and I would say like really small kids at this point, really ate that stuff up. And the parents really just wanted, you know, look at this kids, you know, Monster Mash. That came up when I was looking up. Like I said, I wasn't one to listen to a lot of like kids related albums. My mom has a huge album collection, and it was curated. From through the 50s through the 60s. She was born in 1950, but she had stuff from like her dad, my dad. There's a lot of jazz or big band stuff in there as well. Frank Sinatra, my dad loved that. Mario Lanza, if you operatic singer, please, you should check him out. He did a lot of movies as well, if you're interested in that. And then, of course, my mom with all of the OG albums from the 60s. Like, it's amazing that she kept them for as long as she did. I know that she said she lost a bunch because of things and all of her moves. So that's why I wanted to make sure when we moved again that she would have every single one of them. And I know my son's getting very much into vinyl, so there's plenty for him to check out, because I think she has like over 300 albums. So it's crazy. So instead of me listening to like, why don't we listen to a sing-along? It would be like, let's listen to some Rolling Stones or Black Sabbath or ZZ Top or whatever it was that she was listening to at the time. Simon and Garfunkel, Paul Simon. I would listen to them. Were the Monkees. She had everything. And the Monkees, if you check out my other episode of the Monkees Resurgence that they did in the 80s, that was like something that played a lot. I remember their show when I was little. And now I have them all on DVD. Blu-ray, actually. I have them all on VHS as well. So I think I think only one of them broke. But VHS will eventually disintegrate into nothingness. But yeah, nursery rhymes were one of the biggest things that I know, especially with my dad. He loved music as well. Of course, very different generation. He would play the piano. He would sing. And he loved Frank Sinatra. So anytime that he did sing, like I know my English. Anytime he did sing, it was that Kroner type of singing. And I miss it. I don't get to hear his whistle. He had the most awesome whistle. He helped me learn how to whistle. My son doesn't know how to whistle. I'm like, how did you do this, Dad? How did you teach me? I really, really would like to. I have to figure out a good way. He's 18 now, but you know, if any point he wants to learn, really, really learn, I can sit down. But I remember my dad. Side note, side story. My dad during, like, he wanted me to learn our address and our phone number, and my name. You know, my birthday. Where was I going with this? Oh, and the whistle. Anytime he would go to the bathroom, and I was little, like, I had to say about I would say between 3 to 5. When he would go into the bathroom, he'd have the door shut, and I'd, Dad, Daddy. And he'd be like, what's your name? Where do you live? What's your phone number? And then it would be, give me a whistle, or let's whistle, or he'll whistle something, and I have to whistle it back. And I very much miss that. So I apologize. I'm getting upset. All right. Anyways, so nursery rhymes, my dad would sing a lot. So it just, some of them, I guess, nowadays wouldn't be politically correct. There is a couple of them, and I don't know if that would be actually appropriate nowadays. But I mean, I would still sing it to my son, but it means no disrespect to anybody. It was just a song, and now everybody gets offended of everything. So, but anyhow, it would be like, you know, the five little monkeys jumping on the bed, and that's not a nursery rhyme, but I'm just saying, like, all the songs, like, teaching you how to count, and the nursery, the, what was, like, driven home for the nursery rhymes for me and the music that went along with it was the Fisher-Price record player. So it would have, like, this old man, he played one, he played, you know, that sort of thing. Or the Wheels on the Bus. And then it would have, like, the Itsy Bitsy Spider and anything, you know, or Little Miss Muffet, stuff like that, you know. And I really do think that, unfortunately, and I am his mom, and he does know enough of it because I've told him about it, but they are not taught as much about these nursery rhymes. And maybe I don't, because I don't, like, there are other kids that I've talked to, and I'm like, you know, like, and I'll mention a nursery rhyme that they look like it's some obscure thing from the 18th, well, I guess it would be that old, but obscure thing that you've never heard of. And I'm like, didn't you learn these things? And yeah, sometimes they did, and or they've learned something along those lines, but I don't feel like they're, it's there as much. But correct me if I'm wrong, my son was homeschooled, but I had an online feature with other teachers that would be teaching in an actual school, and then this would be like something else that they did with the same curriculum, and there wasn't as many in as he got older anyway. But obviously, like, they're like, oh, you don't want to listen to this at 15? What do you mean? But some of the curriculum I've seen, I just don't see enough of it. But if I have any teacher friends out there, or any listen to this and you're a teacher, please correct me, okay? I'm not in school, obviously, right now. My son is now not in school anymore. God. Or within that age that he needs, that I would be knowing that stuff. But please let me know if that's I hope you do. Nursery rhymes are a big thing. It teaches you things. It's something that sticks with you. It's just crazy. Like, not for everybody, but I went to a Catholic school. And because you go to a Catholic school, you go to First Friday Masses, special Masses, and you have your graduation and stuff in a church. And any type of, like, award ceremony, it was church related. You always had a mass within it. And I would have religion class. That's, you know, what it was. And you would learn about religion. I personally like the ones times that we would learn about other religions, but I do feel like, you know, they don't want to be like, oh, look at this interesting religion over here. And then they lose people for their parish. But we would have to do the rosary and the Ten Commandments. Like, you had to know all of, like, everything. And I don't remember the Apostles' Creed. I could never remember it. But anyhow, the rosary we would do all the time. And it's the same type of thing. It's like the repetitiveness, the music. There's even, like, church songs that I'll still, like, you know, hum to myself. It's kind of crazy. I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore. I haven't been in decades. I still remember the stuff. I found my old rosary beads that we had, that I got for my first Holy Communion and all that stuff. And I can still do the Hail Mary, Glory Be, and the Our Father, the whole thing if I need to, which, you know, my son finds interesting because he wasn't raised that way and he didn't go to a Catholic school. But if he asked, I would tell him, you know, obviously it's, I think religion along with other things, it shouldn't be pushed on the kids until they're old enough to make that decision, which would be right now. He's 18. If he wants to choose to be a Roman Catholic or Presbyterian, Methodist, if you want to convert to not Catholicism, Judaism, like, you do you, but just as long as you're old enough to understand what you want and the knowledge behind it. Knowledge is power. That's what you need to know these things, and you have to be informed and properly informed. So yeah, that's about as polarizing as I will get. I will try not to be like this on other things. But so we're going back to the kids albums. Yeah, so the last thing I really put in there was for the nursery rhymes, because they're a huge thing. They're something that I would really, really push for children to listen to and know, because it just stays with you. It's a good thing to stay with you. So yes, thank you so much, Nick, for the recommendation for Baby Beluga. It spurred me looking into what I used to listen to as a kid, because I never heard of Baby Beluga, but I remember Letter People, so I was like using that as my vein of understanding and knowledge within that. So I like looked, there was a thing called Kids Incorporated in the 80s. I don't know that, so I didn't really look too much into it, because it's not something I have any knowledge for myself. And this podcast, while it will stir nostalgic ideas, thoughts, and memories for you guys, it is coming from my own experiences, and that's what I talk on. So that's why, like, I always like preface it as, "Hey, I kind of led a sheltered life. I didn't really go out, and I had two different generational people in my household that were raising me. So there was like lots of differences. I didn't really have a lot of friends." And I listened to really old music versus the stuff that was out at the time. So I always say that, you know, like, just know this is coming from a weirdo. So yeah, that's really all I have. I appreciate listening to the other rants that I was going on here. But I enjoyed this. And I actually have now 8 other things that I've come up with. But if you have any suggestions, please let me know. Follow me on... I made the social, I think I only did Facebook. And if you're not an old fart like me, and I'm going to get into Instagram and X, formerly Twitter, to put that out there for other people to, it's mainly so that you know that I put out a new episode, but also for the feedback. I know that you can now do comments on Spotify podcasts, which is great, because then you can kind of see like anybody that's interacting on that end. But I actually gotten the most interaction off of my Facebook page, surprisingly. Maybe it's just because I have all the people that are the same age have a Facebook page. But yeah, it's called That Age Child, the Generation Y. Check it out. Follow it. So that's really it. So thank you for tuning into this episode of That 80s Child, the Generation Y. I hope you enjoyed the trip down memory lane of children's albums and learning programs that defined the 80s. If you did, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast platform. Share your favorite memories with me on social media, and let me know which tunes or shows kept you engaged as a kid. Until next time, keep cherishing those memories and stay tuned for more deep dives into the trends and moments that defined our childhoods. Thanks for listening to That 80s Child, where the past is always present. Thank you. Bye.